I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. Giving you a different take on things. It's a different style of show. A lot of different things here than you'll hear on traditional conservative talk radio. As a battle of the drug war, the Mississippi legislature. I'll get it to it later. Mississippi legislature. A constant disappointment. It's really quite amazing in this super red state. I mean, everybody's voted so hard to keep this state a Republican state, and it still can't get out of its way. Yet I guess people cling to the hope. Now, voting a little harder at some point will get us out of this. Anyway, we'll talk about what the legislature was up to a little bit later in the show. When I first heard it, I kind of thought it was going to be the entire show, but I've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, so we'll take a look at all of these things. Go ahead and get started off today. Quotes of the day today. That'll lead me to some financial news. It kind of set up a format here where I kind of get some of this financial stuff out of the way. I believe I'm starting to narrate what is going to be a bit of a crack up of the U.S. financial system. I believe it started. I have thought this again. I've been wrong several times. Inflation is the big game changer. It's changed a lot of things. People are hurting. They're going to have to do something to stop the inflation because this, you know, now it's going to start hurting politicians. It's going to hurt Democrats that are in office. It's going to hurt Republicans if they get into power and inflation spikes. And so now that it's political, now that it's going to hurt the political class, they're going to offer to make some changes. And the changes, unfortunately, they've got themselves in such a box. All of the changes, any way to mitigate this inflation is going to be very painful. We deserve it. So we're going to get to lead into some financial stuff today. Edward Bernays, the father of modern propaganda, which everybody is becoming more and more familiar with, said it is not necessary for the politician to be a slave of the public group prejudices. If he can learn how to mold the mind of the voters in conformity with his own ideas of public welfare and public service. Translation. As long as the politicians can continue to dupe you, then they don't really have to do what you want. They can somehow convince you that what they're doing is what you need. James F. Cooper wrote, "The greatness of character is dependent on individuality. The man who has no other existence than that which he partakes in common with all around him will never have any other than existence of mediocrity." Again, I feel the need to translate this a little bit. If you're being yourself, if you're willing to stand alone, I mean, you've got a potential to be something extraordinary if you rely on your tribe, the approval of those around you with all of your thoughts. You don't dare diverge from the tribe. You just kind of blend into mediocrity. I think I certainly stand as an individual here on this show on a lot of issues. So I'm either something great or something terrible, but I think I've escaped mediocrity. This is an interesting one from Calvin Coolidge, who said this obviously well over a century ago. "Unless the people, through unified action, arise and take charge of their government, they will find that their government has taken charge of them. Independence and liberty will be gone, and the general public will find itself in a condition of servitude to an aggregation of organized and selfish interests." Yeah. The warnings have been out there for decades and decades, and in the case of Calvin Coolidge, over 100 years. They warned us, and we find ourselves right now in government servitude. Do not believe me. Check your last paycheck and see what your withholding was, because you're all sharecroppers now. John Maynard Keyes said this. He said, by a continuing process of inflation, government can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. Now, John Maynard Keyes and I would disagree on a whole host of things should he still be around, but he understood this. Inflation serves the government. It serves the elites. It does not serve the average citizen, so they use it as a stealth tax. And boy, you are getting stealth taxed to death right now. And this was interesting. This was in a tweet. It kind of bolsters a point that I made. I got into some pretty decent math about this the other day, explaining to you what happens with higher interest rates that are going to have to occur in response to the inflation we're seeing and how it will affect the real estate market. And some guy tweeted out, 30-year mortgage rates in the U.S. just hit 3.85%. That's one percentage point higher than February of 2021. The new marginal buyer's real salary has shrunk. And by real salary, what he means is the amount of money that you make compared to what you need to spend to survive. Your salary in dollar terms may have gone up, but your expenses have gone up at a faster pace. If you've got a 3% pay increase or a 5% pay increase, but your inflation is running, and as John Williams at ShadowStat says, around 14%, then your real salary has actually shrunk, even though your paychecks are bigger. So he says the new marginal buyer's real salary has shrunk, but let's say he wants to buy the same $2,000 a month house. Because, you know, everybody buys everything large purchase-wise based on what they can afford to pay monthly, not on the price of the product. This is why we now have cars that you can finance for 7 or 8 years, keep the monthly payment low, and then you can ignore the fact that they've jacked up the price of the car 20%. So he goes on to say, that person who has a $2,000 budget for a home mortgage, he can now afford a $350,000 house versus a $400,000 house 1 year ago, more than 10% less. He goes on to say, watch the housing market. It's huge. And he's exactly right. As I say, I've done this math for you before. As interest rates go up, home values have to decline because Americans are not sitting on more money to afford higher monthly payments. This was something that I thought was, you know, we talk about the American dream. The American dream here in the United States, which is work hard, save your money, live a great middle-class existence, and move your way up the ladder, right? This is the American dream of home ownership and all of these things. So I just found this kind of ironic. New Jersey's massive American dream mega mall looks as though it's officially mega broke. It has just, check this out. This is one of the largest retail centers in the country, which would make it one of the largest in the world. New Jersey's American Dream Mega Mall has just $820 in its reserve fund and is now unclear whether or not the mall's owners will be able to make the next interest payment on about $290 million of debt, according to CNBC. The mall just made an interest payment of $9.3 million, but has another interest payment slated for August of this year. So the American dream, the American dream mega mall is fading fast. They made a $9.3 million interest payment, leaving them with a grand total of $820 in their account. I don't know. It's one of these laugh or cry things. But it just seemed, the American dream is kind of taking it on the chin, isn't it? I had talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that hedge funds, there was an interview, I think Kim Wade had actually sent this out to all of the hosts, and I listened to several segments of this interview. Some Wall Street guys, insiders, but now outsider type guys, and one of them, I'm about to play a clip for you, were talking about how they were possibly going to attack the pharmaceutical companies, that they believe that the the results of the vaccines being ineffective and highly dangerous is finally going to come home to roost, and the pharmaceutical company's stocks will be vulnerable. And some of these hedge fund guys, some of these short sellers may actually go after the Pfizers and Modernas, although Pfizer and Moderna have been falling recently. Moderna is down significantly, but that may change. I've got another story later on today that shows you where Moderna thinks they're headed anyway. But it may be the hedge fund guys, along with the truckers and the nurses and the attorneys that end up saving us all, if they wipe out Pfizer and some of these pharmaceutical companies and teach them, don't mess with the human genome in a grand experiment. But they also, this guy, I want to play a little bit of his credentials. This is a guy, he was former BlackRock guy. Now, when you know that somebody has done a great deal of time with BlackRock, you know they're one of the masters of the universe. They've been on the inside. They know their way around the financial system. Well, I'm going to let this guy talk a little bit about his credentials and then a little bit about what he sees coming next.
I started my career after going to Notre Dame at HSBC Securities in Chicago, selling fixed income securities, treasuries, mortgage backs, all sorts of different types of things. So I learned the capital markets at a very young age, specifically the credit markets. Went back to business school, wanted to get into equities, ended up at DLJ for 2 years in equity research, doing electric utilities, where I witnessed the dot-com boom and some malfeasance that went on all over the place.
No.
Then I moved up to Boston, where I joined Independence Investments as a tech investor, tech analyst. I was one of the outspoken ones saying this is a bubble and things are going to end poorly. And because of that and being early, I was able to leverage that into a job at BlackRock as a portfolio manager in 2002. And I worked there for 10 years until 2012, running a large cap growth portfolio. We took the product from $2 billion to $14 billion because our track record was excellent. So I've seen three what I call three frauds, the corporate fraud of the dot-com boom, the bank fraud of the great financial recession. And I believe the fraud has moved on to central banks and governments because that's the nature of our monetary system. You have to constantly create credit to keep this thing going.
And so that's what he says. It's very interesting if you follow this stuff. What has happened, as you heard him say, it went from the corporations, the fraud of the dot-coms, and it went up to the banks and the financial crisis, and now it's at the government level. You see, they paper over the corporate fraud, and at one point we saw some corporate people go to jail, actually. And after the corporate, they paper over the corporate fraud, and they try to print a bunch of money to fill the gaps of all of the things that happen because of the corporate fraud, and then it's actually the banks themselves. They get caught in huge fraudulent behavior, and so that leads up to the Federal Reserve, and the central banks around the world have to print up a bunch of money to paper over that and try to fill in all the potholes that are created. That they don't actually fix anything. They're filling these holes with sand. And now it has gotten up to the governmental level and the central bank level. There's nobody left really to bail out all of the central banks around the world. We're running out of people to bail people out. But this is what he sees coming.
So from a global macro perspective, I believe the global debt bubble is at its peak, and it's becoming apparent given what's going on across the globe that we're at the end. And due to that fact, we're going to see lots of crazy things in the financial markets. I think we're going to see the credit markets become unhinged, the equity markets become unhinged. The Fed got a reprieve from COVID when they were able to, the cover of COVID, print 65% more money to keep this thing afloat. But we're at the end days here.
And this has always been my theory since the day COVID restrictions rolled out and they started bailing out industries, bailing out airlines, sending money out to people, because we knew that the financial system was in trouble. Something really weird was going on in September of 2019. And there was no way they were going to just come to the American public when Trump was out there telling everybody it was the greatest economy in the history of the world. There was no way they were going to get away with coming out and going, hey, look, we need to print up a bunch of money and bail out a bunch of industries and do all these kinds of things. And so instead of doing that, suddenly they roll out, they purposefully tank the U.S. economy as a cover story for why they needed to print up all this money, which they really needed to print up prior to COVID restrictions in the first place. The little checks you got, that was just to get you to sit down and shut up. Even to the business owners out there, you got your payroll protection program. They threw you some little crumbs, but the big bulk of all those trillions of dollars that were paid out, those bailed out states that were financially insolvent. They bailed out corporations that were financially insolvent. I've always suspected that was one of the big motivations of intentionally tanking the U.S. economy when it didn't need to happen.
And a lot of what you're seeing in the response from global governments is what I believe is setting up a system to, under the guise of medical tyranny, to prevent the riots that are going to ensue once this thing all unwinds. That's my personal belief, and I watch what people do, know what they say. Then I also have a thesis as to what is going on at Pfizer and Moderna and how those companies are probably fraudulent. And there's, these vaccines were pushed through, and I think the clinical trial data is fraud.
Yeah, and that's where he gets into the rest of the interview. He talks about how he believes that the hedge fund guys may be smelling blood in the water with the tanking of these stocks and the poor outcomes from the vaccines. So we may have some financial barbarians at the gates of these pharmaceutical companies, which would be an absolutely beautiful thing to see. Since regulatory bodies are in their pockets, somebody's got to take these companies down a peg. But anyway, this may be endgame, and it does not mean I'm not a complete doom and gloomer here. I don't see Mad Max, but it is going to get pretty ugly, and there are ways to hedge yourself accordingly. So you can weather the storm. You can be one of the survivors. You can actually be one of the thrivers. Start looking at the Great Depression. See who did really well during the Great Depression. One of the things that always struck me was that lipstick did really well during the Depression. It was a cheap product that women could use to make themselves feel better during a time when a lot of people didn't feel so great. There's all kinds of opportunities in a financial crisis, and I think we were on the cusp of one, and I bring on people here that see that as well. I'll let you know that it's not just some jackass local radio talk show host with no certifications. I do have a Series 7 license. Maybe that should account for something, but outside of that, we're going to see. 2022 is going to be a very interesting year. We're going to know where we stand, I think, within the next 6 months. We'll see.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
I'm actually not going to spend a whole lot of time on what our Mississippi State Legislature did. I want to get into, after the next break, the trucker stuff is still going on in Canada. It's very interesting, but it's about to get interestinger. I believe we're about to see some fireworks in Canada, but until then, freedom is fun. I got a great report from the protest up there in Canada we'll get to in just a little bit. But I got to tell you, when I first saw this story, thank you to a listener who sent me this link originally, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't following everything the legislature was doing. When I first saw this story, I was so just disgusted by it. I really felt like maybe Monday's show was going to be nothing but this topic, because it's unbelievable. And I almost just want to take calls on this, because some of you people out there must support this stuff. I mean, surely our political class is not just doing things that nobody cares about, nobody supports, would they? One day after marijuana became legal in Mississippi for medicinal use, the state house on Thursday passed legislation that would make the herbal product known as kratom illegal. Quote, "This is a drug that has no medicinal value." That was from House Drug Policy Chairman Lee Yancey. Yancey, a Republican from Brandon, said that law enforcement agencies, district attorney's offices, and other groups asked him to introduce legislation banning the product because they view it as addictive. So here we go again. So we're actually going to allow people to use medical marijuana here, which I fully support. And they've decided to add something else to the schedule of illegal drugs here in Mississippi, and they're talking about kratom. Hi, my name is Mike, and I've used kratom. Kratom is it's an Asian, I believe it's a tree leaf that's ground up and used as a herbal supplement. I got kratom. I can't remember how I got turned onto it. It was a couple of years ago. I tried it. Someone said it's really good for focus. And at the time, I was playing a lot of poker. Playing a lot of, can I admit to the crime right now of playing online poker? This is another thing that Washington, D.C. has decided that I do not have the right as a free American to risk $5, $10, $20, $40 at a poker table with other people who voluntarily put this money up and they play poker online. But I played live poker, I've played online poker, and I don't. If you've played poker for any period of time, you know it does take a tremendous amount of focus, and I thought, well, I'm going to try that and see how the focus is. It's not Adderall, after all. Of course, Adderall is perfectly legal, right? We put our kids on a derivative of crystal meth every day. If you listen closely right now, you can hear our kids taking essentially crystal meth right now. Some of our schools recommend it to parents. Doctors scribble off prescriptions for Adderall and antidepressants and all kinds of mind-bending drugs for our kids every day. But this Kratom, it's a bridge too far. I took Kratom, and I got to tell you, I really liked it. It was a bit of a mood boost. There was no high. There was no hallucinogenic effect. But it did have a little bit of a mood boost. It was kind of a light feeling. At the most, maybe kind of that first glass of wine, kind of happy feeling. And there was some level of focus that I got from it. And then I took it for probably a couple of months. And then I ran out. And then I forgot about it. And I never took it again. This highly addictive substance I took for 2 months, and then I just forgot to get any more. Now, Kratom here is sold all over the place. At one point, I tried to get some from a local retailer. It was not near. I didn't think it was near as good as what I had ordered online from a place that has got high-quality stuff. It's an herbal supplement. Lee Yancey, the drug warrior out of Brandon, at the behest of law enforcement, district attorney offices, and other ones, they've got him to outlaw another substance from citizens of Mississippi. It is quite amazing to me how many times they're going to bang their heads against it. So what people will do is they'll find something that maybe mimics some of the effects of Kratom, but maybe it produces some other bad of it. They will this is playing whack-a-mole with every little plant they can find that they've got to be up their butt to try to address. And it is such a such a worthless waste of time. This is an herbal supplement. Some people use. Kratom has also been known, and it's been used by a lot of people to address the withdrawal symptoms from opioids. Heaven forbid somebody actually finds something to wean themselves off of the Fortune 500 drug known as opioids that have ravaged this country. So there's Lee Yancey, a Republican. This is why I tell you, you just keep voting real hard. They're going to make things better any day now. But there must be a lot of you out there that support these kinds of things. So you feel free to call in and explain to me this whack-a-mole you're playing with drug policy, trying to protect the people from themselves. I don't need a politician to protect me from myself. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Nope, they might have left. This is pure insanity. But again, there must be Republican voters out there that look to these politicians. What can I and can I take? How are you going to protect me? How are you going to protect my children? I don't want to be the one responsible for telling my children what to do and what not to do, to spend a bunch of time with my children and explaining that what they should do and should. I don't want to have to do that. Can you just make it illegal so it can't be anywhere around them? That really saves me a bunch of parenting. Kratom is such an absolute non-issue. I don't know. Maybe I should open up the phone lines and just leave the rest of the show, the next hour and a half, to where I can just take call after call of all the people, all the family members who've lost somebody to this Kratom epidemic. And to law enforcement that wants to continue to police human behavior in victimless crimes, they've decided, well, we got rid of marijuana, but we need something else we can enforce. You know, there was some story last week. I can't remember if it was Rankin County or if it was Clinton. Some car, some dummy, driving erratic on the highway. He's got $14 million worth of cocaine in his car. I mean, what an idiot. Now, maybe he was whacked out on his, maybe he was getting high on his own supply. But bottom line, they pull over the car. They find $14 million worth of cocaine in the car. Well, this made for a big news story, and I didn't see the pictures, but I would imagine they trotted out pictures of all of the wrapped packets, and there's a big, big victory in the war on drugs. Do you know what happened? So the cops got the guy pulled over on the side of the road. I'm sure they're frisking him. They're checking him. They got his hands behind his back. He's cuffed and in the back of the car. You know what happened while this big bust of $14 million of cocaine was going on? About $20 million of cocaine passed right by. It just kept on going. And there was, and I wish I had clipped it or gone and found the story. I don't know what local news story I was listening to, but it was one of the police officers that said, look, this isn't going to stop anything. This isn't even enough of a supply interruption to really affect the organization, but this is going to hurt a little bit. Now, I will say, yeah, maybe a cartel who is making billions of dollars will stop and think, oh, man, that sucks. We lost that $14 million worth of product. Of course, it didn't cost them much, and they'll always make more. But it is constantly amazing to me, particularly on the Republican side, this commitment to fighting and to protecting us from ourselves. Yet at the same time, these same people, as I said, they collect contributions from corporations that get our kids on crystal meth to concentrate in class because they have ADHD. Yeah, you can tell my emotion around this. I could talk about it for 2 hours, but I won't because it's just absurd. But this is exactly, I've never been so proud to have left the Republican Party back in about 2004. Because they, you know, they're not as insane as the Democrats. They're just control freaks like the rest of them. And Lee Yancey, head of drug policy, that's what we need, right? We need somebody to tell us what plant we can and cannot have. The plant that we grind up. We'll allow you to get some oats and some barley and some hops. You can grind those up. You can ferment those, and you can consume those. This leaf that comes from South Asia? No, no. We've decided, Lee Yancey and law enforcement and all of their supreme intelligence, they understand that this plant is okay and this plant is not okay. They make all of these decisions for you and create them for the love of God. This is a solution going around looking for a problem is exactly what this is. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. It's what your taxpayer dollars are doing. And now you will involve the police in hassling people over having a ground up plant from Southeast Asia that is not causing people any problems. We just can't get out of our own way.
Your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I was afraid this was going to happen. I should have left this Kratom story for the end of the show because now it's stuck in my head because I've just got to ask you, what the hell is wrong with conservatives? At the same time you are having an argument, you have a very legitimate argument of saying you can't force people to take a vaccine. This is a very popular thing to think about now in the conservative movement. Even people who are conservative who have taken the vaccine, most of them don't want it to be forced or mandated. Now, the left has lost their mind. I mean, the left has gone total totalitarianism. But for most conservatives, you say, you do not have a right to force me to inject something in my body. But you sit there and say, but you should be able to force me to not put something in my body. You understand a lot of you are having the exact same thoughts in your head at the same time. Does it not hurt? Does it not hurt to give to give the government such control over your body, except when you don't want them to control? You know what I mean? Am I making sense? Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't have a good delivery, a good explanation of this. I can't believe conservatives are supporting a drug war at the same time they're saying, you don't have any control over my body. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, yes, I am. I just tuned in, and I've never called in before, but...
Well, good.
My son has had a problem with Kratom, and I didn't get to hear anything since I just got on the road. Are you thinking that there's nothing wrong with kratom?
No, what I said was I've taken it. I took it for a couple of months. I got some what I thought was good quality stuff referred to me by somebody that I trusted. I kind of liked the effect of it, and then I got off of it. I never say when I talk about, you know, I don't know how often you've listened, but I'm very against I'm completely opposed to the drug war and all these kinds of things. But I never ever say any of these substances are without problems. My main point is that freedom is messy, but we allow politicians to dictate all of these things to us, and the results are, you know, if they outlaw kratom, there's going to be a black market kratom thing now. Drug dealers are now going to have a new product to offer, is what's going to happen.
Right. Now, I knew that he did not think that he had any problems with it, but when he got low on funds, you know, he's in Tennessee, but he couldn't get it, and he did have some major withdrawals. And
yeah.
So now he's doing some kratom shots and trying, you know, the little bottles of liquid kratom. He was doing the tea that he was making, but no matter what it is, he does have problem when he can't get it.
Yeah, out of curiosity, did he get this? Did he start with stuff that's at a gas station, or you know what? How did he get started doing this?
Actually, since he's in Tennessee, not really sure, but I believe probably at gas stations.
Yeah.
Or because when he would come here to visit, then he would go until he found one that did sell it. You know?
Right.
And he was making a tea with it and drinking it. It was very horrible from the way he walked, you know, acted. And I thought, why did he do this? But he's had a sort of an addictive personality over the years, you know. So
yeah.
It's just he goes from one thing that was really, really bad and, you know, tries to find something that's less, but this tended to really be horrible for him too, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never deny there's all kinds of things. We know that a lot of people have real problems with alcohol. And this is something in society that none of us want to see. We all have people who we love who have had problems with alcohol, but we tried prohibiting alcohol back in the 1930s, and it turned into a disaster. I mean, that's what turned the city streets of Chicago blood red with the gangs warring about the alcohol that they were still providing. People were still getting drunk. People were getting bad quality alcohol and dying from that. I mean, it was just and within 13 years, we realized we can't prohibit this thing that people are going to do because the war against it, the prohibition itself, is actually worse than the ills from the alcohol itself. And it's the same with every product. Prohibition just never works.
That's true. Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just didn't know. Since I came in and you've made a statement I did not hear all of, I thought, I'm a little bit aware of this problem.
Yeah,
well, I
appreciate that. You know, I think that's informative for everybody to listen to, that any of these substances, whether it's, you know, whether it's marijuana, whether it's alcohol, whether it's kratom, whether it's cigarettes, it doesn't matter. You know, there's consequences to these things. They're not, you know, people can have bad outcomes from them. My biggest point is just the idea of constantly politicians deciding what to prohibit and not. It never works.
Yeah.
It creates horrible knock-on effects, and your son needs your love and people around him to help him with his particular, you know, situation, the same way we've cared for our friends and family who have had alcohol problems or any of these kinds of addictive problems. So, this is the life we all live. It's not without consequence across the board. It doesn't matter. Some people are addicted to food. You know, I mean, it's
right.
I was for years. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So
I used to. My mother used to. She could not stop smoking, and she would apologize because I was the only one in the family that knew that she carried it on. And, you know, she said, I'm so sorry that you're bearing this secret for me, you know. And she was, I just enjoy it. And I said, Mama, your vice is no worse than mine. I'm addicted to food, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't judge you for smoking.
Right. So. And there are all these problems that we all have to sort out ourselves, and there's sad stories around all kinds of things. It's just the idea that we can somehow legislate human behavior and then ignore all of the knock-on effects of their attempts to do this. It feels like, you know, after 50 years of this intense war on drugs, we've got more drugs on the streets than ever. They're cheaper than ever. They're more potent than ever. We've loaded up prisons with people. I mean, 50 years of failure, and we just continue down this path. It just seems insane to me.
That's right. I agree.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to your son. I really do. You know, I hope he gets the help he needs. I hope he recovers from his situation. I really do appreciate you calling and letting us know.
Okay, but thank you. What was your name? I'm sorry.
This is the Mike Madison Show. I'm Mike Madison.
Mike Madison.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
I'll be listening more often.
Well, great. Thank I certainly you. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, you know, and this is the thing. In today's world, there is not much room for nuance. You know, you're supposed to just take a position and be able to express it within a tweet, and that's where you are. None of the things, I'm not here on the air telling everybody you should rush out. I can't wait to do heroin. Can they please make heroin legal so I can go out and do heroin? That's not it. It's the idea of we are free people, and politicians constantly trying to dictate to us what we can and cannot do. Number one, it does not work. You know, if the drug war was a success and there were no drugs in the United States and there were no sad stories of addicts or overdoses, I would at least say, well, I mean, at least they stopped doing, you know, they stopped it. I still would oppose it on the basis of freedom. I believe I'm in control of my own body. And as I say to conservatives, I think this is pretty popular with conservatives right now in light of this mandatory vaccination or a coerced vaccination for people. Conservatives kind of, you've kind of awoken to this idea that, hey, wait a second now. You mean to tell me the government can tell me, can force me to put an experimental shot into my body? That doesn't sound right. Well, then use that logic. Run with it. Why does the government get to tell you what you cannot put in your body? But if the drug war was a success as far as stopping the human misery and we didn't have any addicts and everything was going swimmingly, I would still oppose it on the freedom basis, but at least I would say, well, I get it. I mean, they did stop addicts and they did stop drug gangs and they did stop all of the ills that drugs bring us, but they didn't. They've exacerbated all of it. There is no difference to me between the drug war and the war against COVID. They took a disease that doesn't affect children. They masked them. They took away their social connections. They did all these knock-on effects that really harmed our children in the idea of battling this one little virus. The drug war is exactly the same thing. They singularly focus. You've just got a bunch of corrupt guys and gals who decide to schedule drugs and say marijuana and cocaine and heroin, we're putting them on this schedule and we forbid anybody from having them. And the knock-on effects of that have been destroyed lives. The drug war does more harm than illegal drugs would ever do. And I know that's a tough pill for people to swallow, but it's just like COVID. The restrictions, the business closures, the stripping our kids of their lives, the disease, the bacteria trap masks that are put on your face, all of the knock-on effects of what they did to try to mitigate COVID actually made it worse than what if COVID had just gone through our society. Every time they stick their snout into our business, they make things worse. And this is the time where conservatives need to kind of understand that, to just expand your mind a little bit and be a little bit more consistent. One thing people can't, you may think I'm smart, you may think I'm dumb. You may think I'm funny, you may think I'm tacky. I don't care. One thing you cannot say about me, I'm consistent. I am very consistent, and particularly when it comes to freedom and the failings of all of these government agencies. I'll be right back. All right, I only got about a minute left, and I'm going to move on to another topic when I come back. But there's one other thing that I think, you know, I implore conservatives to consider consistency-wise. You know, I played a story last week of them putting, you know, they're accommodating all alternative lifestyles in the school, so they're putting litter boxes in the bathrooms for the furries. I think that's what they're called. people who identify as a cat. And, you know, we all look at it and go, oh, my gosh, just for this one small sliver of the population, everybody else has got to, we're going to accommodate everything? Now, it's very sad when people have addiction problems to drugs. But I know a whole lot of people, I've never done cocaine. Never done cocaine. I know a lot of people who did cocaine years and years ago when we were in our youth. I turned it down whenever I was around it. I didn't want it. I know a lot of people did. It didn't grab a hold of them, and they didn't, they're all, you know, productive members of society, doctors, attorneys. I know a lot of really productive people that, you know, with the laws on our land, at some point they should have been put into a cage, according to people like Lee Yancey, and their careers destroyed. You know, you can't become an attorney with a felony record, that kind of thing. It's very sad that addiction happens. It's part of the human condition. But to upend society because some people have a problem with something is not the way to go.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the truckers because I think we have kind of, I think we're towards the end of our honeymoon period, but I've got a little clip talking about what's going on up in Canada right now. And I tell you, freedom is fun. I wish people really understood freedom better. I looked up during the break, during the news break just now, they're talking about New Jersey releasing their mask mandates. You got to love it. They say, in releasing our mask mandates is because we're following the science. they are clinging to this. Now, they're reverting to the science that existed back in 2019, which was masks don't do anything for an infectious disease that is airborne. Never has, never will. We did basically like a roundabout right back to where we started. And those of us out there explaining to people these masks do not work. Now, we've gone to the N95. The bird people are out there now in their pointy N95 masks. Those do seem to have some effect. Just make sure you change it out every 2 hours, right? Make sure it's properly fitted to your face. And if you've got a beard, I can't believe we did not force people to shave off all these beards over the past year. You cannot wear a mask that provides you any level of protection with facial hair. It just leaves too many gaps. We should have outlawed beards. I don't know why the authorities don't care about us enough to outlaw beards. I see people walking around with a cloth mask strapped over a big, big bushy beard. I just think, what the hell do you think you're doing? I mean, it's anyway, we're getting off some of these mandates around the world. Countries are releasing mandates. And I'm just going to say this, but just to show you the consistency that I'm looking for in people, I wish we would develop. The definition of a mandate is an official order or commission to do something, right? A mask mandate, must wear a mask. A vaccine mandate, you must get the jab. All of these mandates. Some synonyms to mandate are instruction, directive, direction, decree. I like this one. Command. And order. And the reason I bring this up is because we've got these mandates. We've got these mandates that conservatives rightfully have been opposing. We want to see, we got Mississippians against mandates. I'm with them all the way. But just expand your mind a little bit to it's the same kind of mandate. It's an order, a decree, a command when they tell you, you can't grow this particular plant. I'm just saying, just saying. The big story over the weekend, I guess towards the end of last week, was that GoFundMe. People had contributed $9 million to the trucker, to the Freedom Convoy, through GoFundMe. Mistake number one. Should have seen this coming, really. GoFundMe decided that this protest no good. And of course, many people have pointed out rightfully, Black Lives Matter, other places that have experienced a great deal of violence in their movements have been unencumbered and been able to raise money on GoFundMe, but they cut off the Freedom Convoy and essentially stole $9 million from the truckers. Hopefully, this is the death of GoFundMe. Now, we may end up with a right-wing crowdsource donations page, and then the GoFundMe just becomes the knee-jerk left crowdsource funding mechanism. I don't know, but this should be the death of GoFundMe. I loved the fact that people immediately began sharing what you do. Don't ask GoFundMe to get a refund. Originally, GoFundMe said, we're going to take your money. We're going to give it to a charity that we like. Ooh, that did not go over well. They reversed on that very quickly and said, if you want your money back, just contact us. We'll send your money back. And then people said, no, what you do is you dispute it with your credit card company, and that charges GoFundMe $10 or $15 per chargeback. That would have been crippling to them financially. I got to tell you, exercising this freedom muscle on the right is really impressive. People are really understanding things now and learning how to fight back against this stuff. But GoFundMe showed its true colors, that they are just agents of the state, like the rest of big tech. And so they raised a lot of hackles when they stole this money from the truckers. But I wanted to play this clip because I got to tell you, I always want to make the point that freedom is fun. I've talked a lot about the fact that the people that are freedom lovers right now, man, they get together. They have a good time. There's a lot of jokes. The right has got by far and away the best memes out there right now. What do they say? Fighting the power structure, fighting the deep state, one dank meme at a time. I mean, the right has just really, they just seem like there's even in the struggle, people on the right and freedom fighters, and I say on the right, there's your Jimmy Dores out there, your Glenn Greenwalds, they're fighting for freedom too, but they come at it from a liberal perspective, so I don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody's welcome, anybody who wants to fight for freedom, but they have a blast doing it. That's the thing that I like. Even during the struggle, it's always fun. Check out this report on the truckers' rally up in Canada.
So, Evan, hello to you. Now, we were told that more people were joining the demonstration today, the second weekend of the protest. Are you seeing more people at this point?
Yes, we absolutely are. We've seen much larger crowds than during the week. Most of them appear to be people who've come just as pedestrians or in passenger vehicles. We're not necessarily seeing large big rig trucks coming into downtown, but what we are seeing is large crowds of people milling around where the trucks are parked, up on Parliament Hill, and on streets all around here. I mean, this is Wellington Street, which is the sort of epicenter of the protests, but you can walk blocks from here and you will still see people walking on the street, many of them carrying Canadian flags and provincial flags or symbols, other symbols like the Métis flag and so on. We've seen that all over the city. There are also depots set up in various different locations of the city where they're either parking vehicles, serving food, and so on. There's a kind of a party atmosphere which began last night with a dance party with a DJ. There's still a dance party going on right now. And if you look at this yellow and green structure there, that is a bouncy castle, Michael. And that's just one of a few. There appear to be about five of them.
Those terrorists in their bouncy castles. Those white supremacist bouncy castles. Dang it.
Set up right here on Wellington Street in front of the Parliament building. And protesters have packed straw bales around them in case anyone falls off, presumably. So that's just an indication of the kind of atmosphere on the streets and of the organization, the coordination and cooperation between these protesters.
And this is such a big point of this show of really libertarianism. If people were left to their own devices, if you weren't stripped of a third of your income every year, there's no telling what good human beings would do for each other through charitable causes and just all kinds of spontaneous organization of human beings is a beautiful thing. It can be ugly. We've seen this. It's not spontaneous. It's propaganda driven during COVID to turn people insane and scream at maskless people. But by and large, if the government's out of the way, if they just sit down and shut up, leave us alone, man, we can have some fun together and get along.
Just the amount of logistical effort that has gone into these protests. I'll give you another example. Maybe we can show three things that arrived in Ottawa last night. Saunas, full-sized wooden barrel saunas, which have been set up at the protesters' staging point at Coventry Road, where there's a baseball stadium. So we're seeing all kinds of signs that the protesters are here to stay. And they're trying to generate today, as I say, this kind of a carnival atmosphere with dancing, with music, and so on.
Yeah, so there you go. They got bouncy houses. They got saunas. I mean, these people are doing it right. They're getting jiggy with it. I'm sure that phrase dates me. So this is it's the honeymoon period. This is the opening, and I believe it has caught the Canadian government off guard to a degree that they're so used to protest movements kind of petering out. And so they're a little behind the curve, but I'm going to play a clip in a second. I think that the honeymoon period is rapidly ending, and we're about to see kind of a change in the way this is taking place. Let's see if I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know what the protesters and the truckers don't have now?
What?
Fuel.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're sending in the Canadian police to confiscate.
Yeah, I've got it.
Gasoline that they're using to run generators and provide heat and
Right. Ottawa police have threatened to arrest anyone providing the Freedom Convoy with gas and diesel cans days after they initially blocked trucks with fuel tanks coming to the aid of the protesters. Authorities announced that anyone providing, quote, material support, unquote, to the demonstrators would be subject to arrest from midnight last night. Videos soon emerged of people being arrested and police seizing fuel from protesters. So there's your what I'm waiting for now, because this same thing would happen in the United States. What I think is going to be the ultimate irony is if we ever got the cojones here. Now, we haven't had it probably as bad as they've had it in Canada, at least not in the red states. But should we actually fight for our freedom in here, particularly in some of the blue states, the police would do the exact same thing to protesters here. And it'd be interesting to see many people on the right calling to defund the police.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember when the truckers went on strike back in the 70s, going on strike because of the high fuel prices and those things. We had a trucker strike that went on for – we already have a supply chain issue. You have a trucker strike now.
Oh, yeah.
In the United States. It would cripple the country. The truckers could, in 2 weeks, affect so much change.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
In the United States. I mean, look what the pilots did to the airlines in 1 weekend.
Yeah.
I've
said it. I mean, truckers, nurses, and attorneys could save us all, and we might have to throw some hedge fund people in there if they take down Pfizer and Moderna in a serious way. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that is, you know, and truckers, it is one of those things that's interesting. I mean, we're really learning. I think people start to really kind of comprehend, particularly with supply issues in some of the stores. You see shelves that are not stocked. That's not something Americans are used to. And when you realize how vital the trucking system is in this country, I think it wakes a lot of people up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it really is. You see pictures all the time of grocery stores at certain times where, I mean, just bare.
Yeah.
And you go in and you don't, there's no employees, there's no food, there's no, I mean, it is really teetering on a catastrophe.
Well, this
if
is
something doesn't change real soon.
Yeah, and this is what Canada's facing. When I come back from the next break, I'll tell you they're about to change tactics up there. The police seizing fuel is one of the first things. I will just throw this in though. I've talked about it before. I've got about 6 months worth of storable food. I would never consider myself a prepper. I would be so woefully behind in a grid down scenario. I've got friends. I'd be knocking on their farm door, but, I did keep food, and I got food, for myself in response to, really the financial crisis and the understanding of the credit markets that actually drive trucking in this country. When a trucker pulls up one of these, I don't care what big grocery chain or whoever it is, that when the truckers go and fuel their trucks, they're not pulling out cash to pay for that. They're pulling out credit or debit cards that are drawn on their corporate accounts to fill up their cars. And if we have a true credit crisis here, which is a real possibility, as that hedge fund manager was saying earlier in the show, if we have a credit crisis here, it could cripple the trucking industry. And I got food specifically for that reason, because I understand that if trucking goes down due to a credit crisis where they would literally have to park trucks on the side of the road and walk away from them if these big corporations have a credit crisis of their own or not able to actually fuel their trucks. That's why I got food, because that could happen real fast, within days.
Well, and our house, my house, my wife and I, we stocked up on a lot of stuff, not as survivalists also, but just as the scare and the crisis that the reaction to COVID has caused.
Yeah, right.
I mean, a lot of this empty shelves and stuff in grocery stores is attributed to the fact that they don't have employees.
Yeah.
But I saw a picture this weekend of somebody's butcher department in a grocery store here locally, and it was empty and there was nobody working.
Yep.
All of the fresh butcher stuff was the cooler was empty, and there was nobody there.
They have broken everything.
Saturday.
They have broken every single facet of our. They've broken the medical system. They've broken the educational system. They've broken the supply chains. They've broken. I mean, they've broken it all in response to this one microscopic virus.
And it's sad that. And what's even worse to me is that so many people are still being led around by the nose and don't even see the hypocrisy of so much of it right in face.
Yeah, even when it affects them.
They don't even look at the political leaders who are walking around taking pictures with masked children
right. While
they're sitting there on, you know, or going to football games and living it up and having a good time. And, the excuses that these people come up with, obviously, they think that you're just stupid.
Yeah,
not dumb. That you're just flat out stupid that you would believe some of this.
Well, we have given them great cause to actually believe that exact thing. It's very sad to say, but I got to tell you, when I see a grocery store that has got bare shelves, or I see any of these problems, or you know, people not being able to staff restaurants, all I can do is go to my happy place and just remember that Wall Street bonuses set some kinds of records this year. Goldman Sachs and then I think it was Citigroup have paid massive new bonuses to all of their top-level executives. So hopefully that gets you through, you know, emotionally any kind of a food crisis. I know it makes me feel very, very warm and fuzzy.
Well, I was worried about them.
Yeah,
I really was. I was worried about those.
They're doing fine. Let me just rest assure everybody.
They had it good, and I just hope that they didn't see a downfall too.
No, they're doing fine. We just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Good.
Hey, man,
that's
thanks
good.
For the call. Got to jump to a break. All right, quick break, and we come back. As I say, I think the trucker thing is about to take an uglier turn. We've had the bouncy houses. We've had the saunas. We have had the honking and the dance party alive with a DJ up there in Ottawa. But this thing's about to come to a head. The Trudeau government is not going to willingly give up on this. This is one of the things. You got to fight for your freedom. The problem is you are going to run up into a very obstinate opponent. And it is the opponent that has a monopoly on violence. This is the libertarian argument against government in the first place. You give the government a monopoly on violence. They can threaten you at the point of a gun. They can kidnap you just because they say you did something. We have allowed our governments to possess all of the power. And as I say, the monopoly on violence. And I think they're about to unleash it in Canada should these truckers not stand down. And it doesn't look like they're going to. I'll play you a report on that when we come back. All right. I read a quote last week in one of my quotes of the day. I'm going to kind of repeat it because I have a very kind of a different idea of supporting police, anything, FBI, those kinds of things. Mark Twain said, I read this last week because I asked the question, when was the last time this happened? But Mark Twain said, patriotism is supporting your country all of the time and your government when it deserves it. And my question was, when was the last time our government deserved our support? A lot of people believe it's when our guy was in charge. No, the government was still the same authoritarian, busybody, overspending, bankrupting, empire-building government under Donald Trump that it is under Joe Biden. Joe Biden's just got a special badness to it. But I feel the same way about police. I think you should support your police when it deserves. But police do absolutely heroic work. There's all kinds of things about what police officers do that is truly heroic. They save people. They investigate crimes. They bring violent criminals to justice. They do. But you're not going to get my support for pulling somebody over because they're not wearing a seatbelt. You're not going to get my support if you do a no-knock raid at 6 a.m. because you heard somebody had some plants that some politician like Lee Yancey doesn't approve of in their backyard. That doesn't get my support, so I don't do the blanket, we always support law enforcement. I support law enforcement when law enforcement is doing things to get violent, aberrant people off of the streets that harm other people. But for policing human behavior, no. And I think the Canadians are about to see this as well. They've seen it over the past year. We've seen the footage of the cops going to churches and disrupting services. I believe it was the UK this weekend. They had a Cops were going into some church in the middle of a service to make sure their masks were being worn properly. We've had police in this country doing very similar things. New York City, I don't know if George Flags sicked the police on people over in Vicksburg as he imposed his curfews of people from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. because of this virus. But I do not support police enforcing these things. They're essentially, in many cases, the police are like a Praetorian Guard. And they're about to discover that up in Canada even more. Freedom's been fun up there. They got their bouncy houses. They got their saunas going on in their protests. But it is about to take a turn, in my estimation. Caller mentioned earlier, and I had clipped it here, that they're starting to arrest so-called protesters who are providing, quote, material support, unquote, to the truckers. And I would imagine that leaves it broad enough to be if you feed a trucker, you could go to jail up there, and the police are the ones that are going to be enforcing this. Before I do that, I wanted to play this one little clip. I just thought this was funny. The mainstream media has been forced to cover this trucker issue up in Canada, begrudgingly, but they'll try to minimize it the best they can. Listen to NPR describe the crowd.
In Canada, hundreds of protesters were out in force in central Ottawa this weekend as the anger against vaccine mandates gathers momentum.
Hundreds. Hundreds. By all account, it's in the tens of thousands. I mean, technically, she's not wrong. It's thousands of hundreds. So they're trying to minimize it. But as I say, this thing is going to take, it's going to take another turn. It's going to be unfortunate to watch, and it's going to be fascinating to see who wins. This is about to be a battle of wills.
Now, we were told that Ottawa police would be changing their tactics this weekend. What are you seeing there?
We are seeing a little bit more of this than earlier today. We saw some concrete barricades actually set down further up the street here, and maybe we can just turn around. If you look over where that sort of tall, eight-story tall brown building is, that's the O'Connor Street entrance to Wellington, and police set some concrete barricades there. They brought in a truck with the blocks on a flatbed, and about 30 police officers surrounded it, pushed the crowd back in both directions, and laid down what appears to be a concrete wall that it seems to be some kind of an effort to separate one side of Wellington Street from another. Whether they will continue with that effort and try to sort of block off other streets, we don't know. The number of police officers on the street doesn't seem that much higher than before, and I think that's essentially because the police force was already working full out. Its resources were already maxed out prior to this new surge and contain strategy, so they don't have that many more officers to give.
Surge and contain. Their new surge and contain strategy. There is about to be a butting of heads. There is about to be a test of wills in Canada. It's really been fun and games up until now, and I support it wholeheartedly. But we're about to see who is more intent on winning this thing. The Canadian government does not look likely to blink until some probably pretty bad things go down. So I certainly would imagine everybody needs to pray for these truckers. I cannot imagine Justin Trudeau just coming out and acquiescing to these things. It's a weird catch-22. You got to fight for your freedom. But when you run up against a totalitarian government, and Justin Trudeau is among some of the worst in the country, you end up kind of getting to a point where they can't back down because they can't be seen to have acquiesced to protest, because what that does is tells people, yeah, when you get ticked off, if you get enough of you out in the street, we'll change our tact. This is anathema to government bureaucrats everywhere, that you can actually change things yourself. They can't allow you to ever believe that you have the power to make these changes, so they fight extremely hard. We'll see what happens up there. I wonder if I got time to play these clips. I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll take a break. Missouri has actually run out of a state health director, and he's not as bad as Thomas Dobbs, for judging by some of his statements. But just to let you know that you can affect change, I may play these clips. If I don't get to them today, maybe tomorrow. I've got other stuff I want to get to. But Missouri has stopped a state health director. And he's not near as bad as our state health director. That's just something Mississippians ought to think about. We probably have the power to get rid of Thomas Dobbs, too. We're just probably not going to exercise it. And Tate ain't going to do anything about it for sure. Be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I try to do station IDs at the beginning and the half hour of the show, maintain some consistency and let you know what station it is out there. So when you have conversations with your friends and they go, what's that one station that's actually fighting for our freedoms and doesn't go along with Thomas Dobbs directives? Then you can reply to people, oh, yeah, that's WYAB 103.9. This WYAB, not the most catchy thing in the world, so we say it a lot. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about COVID because there was a very concerning article out. And one of the real mind benders, I always have to try to think of it because I've got a different phrase for this, but one of the real mind benders is this idea of long COVID and ignores the fact that people are having, you know, you've got a media reporting on people with long-term symptoms and they're blaming it on COVID while they completely ignore the adverse events from the reactions to the vaccines. Now, I don't know what's actually happening. But the thing is that let me just tell you the headline that kind of struck this with me. This is from the Australian news, news.com.au. So this is Australia, a very heavily vaccinated. I mean, they have been bossed around and basically forced to take this shot, lest you have to go to one of the wellness camps. Here's a headline in this Australian online paper. Mass disability event warnings as huge numbers diagnosed with long COVID. A mass disability event is already underway at a scale, quote, truly hard to imagine, unquote. As one expert warns, thousands of Aussies may be forced out of work. And so I've done a couple of stories here on the air where you hear somebody complaining, somebody of some notoriety talking about they've been dealing with what they call long COVID. And if you read the whole story, you get down to the very bottom of it and you find out that they started suffering these long-haul COVID things on January 27th. They took the shot on January 21st. It's never tied that way. It just says, well, they are vaccinated, but they still got long COVID. No, what it sounds to me like is 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months of a rolling vaccine adverse reaction. And they won't be honest about this, but just this headline, mass disability event warning as huge numbers diagnosed with long COVID. Again, this is in a society that is extremely heavily vaccinated. Now, you know, people will say, well, it's just long COVID. It's a disease. It's a wrecker. Well, there was this story that came out this past weekend. Heather McDonald, she's a comedian, not really familiar with her, but Heather McDonald suffered skull fracture after collapsing on stage. I feel so dizzy, she says. And apparently she was a couple of jokes into her set on the second night. Here are the six things, according to Steve Kirsch, and I've read this in some other parts too. She was making jokes about being vaxxed, double vaxxed, and boosted right before she collapsed on stage. Could be a coincidence. I am a coincidence theorist. She was vaccinated 3 weeks ago with her booster, has no history of fainting ever. There was actually a direct quote from her saying, I've never fainted before. They couldn't find anything else wrong with her. She doesn't have COVID. She tested negative for COVID. And so she's making jokes about being vaccinated, double vaccinated, and boosted, and then she collapses on stage. And within 24 hours, check this out. Within 24 hours, another comedian, triple-vaxxed Chelsea Handler, collapsed and was hospitalized, forcing her to cancel the rest of her shows. Her show was called, quote, Vaccinated and Horny. Now, I'm just saying, again, I'm a coincidence theorist. These could be just coincidences. People do faint. But then there was this one as well. As you think about this mass disability event, and one of the reasons that I bring these stories up, Australians, to my knowledge, pretty genetically similar to us. They've taken the same jabs we've taken. So if we start seeing a mass disability event in the United States, that should concern us. And we don't know if it's COVID or if it's the jabs. They're never going to tell us this. We're going to have to judge as we see these things unfold among our friends and colleagues and family members. We'll be able to soon identify if it is the people that have had the shots that are having these long-term effects, or what they're calling long COVID. Some people were suffering from long COVID before the shots even rolled out, so I guess it's a thing. I'm not saying, again, I don't know. It's just that we should be willing to look at everything, particularly in light of this. If you heard, I don't think I ever played this clip, but this is a clip about the F-35 jet that crashed into the South China Sea. I made a little bit of a joke about it, that the fact that the Chinese were rushing to get this jet and our government was worried, but the F-35 has been just such a colossal blunder. I think we should let them have the F-35 if they want to reverse engineer this thing, from what I'm hearing about it, after we've spent more than $1 trillion on the dang thing that's still not ready for prime time. Maybe this is the best way to hamstring the Chinese military, is export this technology to them. Yes, they're always stealing our technology. Sounds like the F-35 is something maybe we should kind of look the other way and let them have. But this is the story about the crashing of the F-35 jet into the South China Sea.
A retired Navy captain details the events leading up to a pilot being forced to eject from his F-35C jet in the South China Sea. In his report shared with OAN Thursday, Captain Joseph R. John said the pilot ejected due to a disabling reaction from the vaccine he was forced to receive. The pilot reportedly had intense chest pain that he described as being hit with a baseball bat. When he ejected, his stealth fighter crashed, landed on the flight deck of the USS Carl Vinson, injuring 7 boatsmen and mates. John said that the pilot got his booster aboard the Vinson 72 hours before that flight, adding he had no comorbidities and had recently passed a medical exam. The pilot, fortunately, is expected to recover.
Yeah. So, you know, right now the government is paying for these shots. I believe they're $20 a pop or $35 a pop, plus they're paying the healthcare professionals. I use that term loosely, that are doing these shots, something like $90 per jab. Well, there's money sloshing around on all these things. So if that's the case, and we're around $110 of taxpayer money given out for every shot, except for that one. That one cost the American taxpayer $100 million and $110. We just lost $100 million aircraft for this shot. I mean, pretty soon we're going to be talking about real money. Another story that came out that really attracted my attention, and it is something to be paying attention to. I don't want to say being worried about. We don't know. It's another coincidence. But as your resident coincidence theorist, we're going to take a look at it. There's another troubling health trend. And then the kicker is, guess how the authorities plan on tackling this new health problem for people that has just been discovered now 1 year into the vaccination program. Six stuff. Stick around. All right, final segment for the day. So let me squeeze this in here because, again, as your coincidence theorist, just another alarming thing. So I see a headline about a mass disability event taking place in Australia, the heavily vaccinated Australia. And they didn't suffer a lot of COVID because of their just draconian lockdowns. Now they're going to have a whole bunch of other horrific consequences from what they did that are much worse than COVID ever would have been. But they're announcing or concerned about this mass disability event. Of course, they're blaming the disease and not the shots. And then I run across this in the same weekend. I can't ignore them. This is something coming from Oxford, United Kingdom. A more aggressive HIV strain that could cause patients to develop AIDS twice as fast has been discovered in the Netherlands. I'll qualify that by saying the heavily vaccinated Netherlands. Despite its strength, experts aren't sounding the alarm, saying there is no health crisis to worry about. Nothing to see, move along. The new variant, this story says that, and then it goes into this. The new variant is highly virulent and potentially lethal without early detection, according to researchers from the University of Oxford. Individuals with an HIV infection need quick treatment before the virus can ravage their immune system. Scientists call this variant VB, virulent subtype B, and add that it may also have implications for COVID-19 since continuous mutations keep fueling the ongoing pandemic. For many years, and listen to this, this is where I become put on my coincidence theorist hat. For many years, there have been concerns this could arise in HIV, and the new study appears to confirm this possibility. The AIDS-causing virus affects 38 million people, blah, blah. Before this study, the genetics of the HIV virus were known to be relevant for virulence, implying that the evolution of a new variant could change its impact on health. Discovery of the VB variant. Look, bottom line, they've thought for a long time that HIV could somehow mutate and start to become more lethal or more dangerous, but it didn't happen until a year into mass vaccinations they discovered this thing. I'm just saying, it seems rather suspect. Now, there have been mechanisms. A lot of the doctors that have spoken out against the dangers of these shots have talked about the fact that it does toy with the human immune system. As a matter of fact, down in the story, let me see what, here it is. Patients with this new variant of HIV had a viral load, the virus level in the blood, between 3.5 and 5.5 times higher than the typical HIV strain. They were also more likely to transmit the virus to others. Moreover, the rate of decline in T cells, the hallmark of the immune system damage, occurs twice as fast in patients with VB. Also known as CD4 cells, T cells are special cells in the immune system that fight off infections. Now, we have just, for the first time in human history, done a mass experimentation on human beings' immune systems. There's no denying that. That's science, baby. Can't question me. We have just done this mass experimentation on people's immune system involving these T cells, and now suddenly they find this very virulent, very transmissible HIV variant. I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of this. The Fauci flu also, this thing that they monkeyed around with down there in Wuhan, China, when it first came out, people said, well, this is really strange. It seems to have some of the characteristics of HIV. It's like HIV has been included in this gain-of-function disease. As I say time and time again, crime, it's just layering of crimes against humanity. But don't worry. Don't worry. If this new HIV starts to ravage the country, help is on the way.
Moderna has just begun a clinical trial for its experimental HIV vaccine. It uses the same mRNA technology found in COVID vaccines. Moderna hopes the vaccine shot will induce a specific class of white blood cells, which can then turn into neutralizing antibodies. The company says the vaccine appeared to work in 97% of participants in...
Where have we heard that before?
Last year's concept trial. Participants in phase one of the trial just received their first doses and will be closely watched for the next 6 months.
Holy cow. We discover a new mutant strain of HIV. Moderna's already on the case with a new mRNA vaccine. So this may be the scam. This may be why they're saying, well, we don't need to give you 3, 4, 5 shots. We're just going to develop a new shot for the new disease. What do you think is going to happen in our society if we are told there's a new HIV strain out there? You think the vaccine mandates were hardcore for a coronavirus? You just wait till this thing takes roost. Now, I don't know. You know, these kinds of stories pop up all over the place. I'm still watching this woman who was bit by a monkey when they were on their way to the lab, patient zero. I think they're trying to roll out the actual script of outbreak on us. But this is a little concerning. I did run across this real quick, too, in closing, in case I've got any left-wing people out there listening to me. This show is available to everybody, conservative, liberal, right, left, center, young, old, black, white. I take all comers because I don't carry water for any political party. But if you've not caught on to the scam of the pharmaceutical companies, and the left certainly treats them now like they're some charitable organization, check this out. This is actually written by a lefty. I don't know if I've got an attribution to it, but they said this: never in history have governments been buying more doses of vaccines for one disease, and the large-scale production should drive down costs, enabling companies to charge lower prices. Yet the EU reportedly paid even higher prices for its second order from Pfizer-BioNTech. Dramatic price escalation is predicted to continue in the absence of government action and with the possibility of booster shots being required for years to come. The CEO of Pfizer has suggested potential future prices of as much as $175 per dose, 148 times more than the potential cost of production. Quote, analysis of production techniques for the leading mRNA type vaccines produced by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, which were only developed thanks to public funding to the tune of $8.3 billion, suggest these vaccines could be made available for as little as $1.20 a dose. So in the EU, they are paying, the more they buy, the more it costs. That's for all you people out there on the left that believe that Pfizer is some benevolent organization just out there to try to save humanity. Now, of course, in that piece right there, the leftist wants swift government action. Dude, you are actually on the receiving end. You are bending over right now. The swift government action is what created Pfizer-BioNTech's monopoly on these mRNA experimental shots in the first place. It is so amazing to me to watch, particularly the left, but a lot of things on the right. We've already talked about a couple of them today. It is amazing to watch people bellyache about something the government causes and then ask that the government jump in and fix the problem that they caused in the first place, thinking that the solution that the government comes up with is somehow going to address the mistakes that they made. Or not, nah, this isn't a mistake. This is just a flat-out payoff to the pharmaceutical companies and the donor class. So there you go. They're getting us coming and going. Watch out for the new super strain of HIV.
No matter
see you tomorrow.
How hard Bye-bye. You try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.